I would invite your attention with me this morning to the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 33. We'll read together out of this 33rd chapter what is probably one of the most well-known or familiar portions of the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 33, let's read verses 1 through 11. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his iniquity or from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? This morning I'd like to speak to you on the subject of words from a watchman. Words from a watchman. I have three thoughts that I would try to impress upon you today. The first thought is the duty of the watchman. The second thought is the responsibility of the hearer. And the third thought is the position of God. In this familiar portion out of Ezekiel's prophecy, we see where God had called Ezekiel. And you see this again in chapter 3 and then in our narrative in chapter 33, where God had commissioned Ezekiel to serve as a watchman over his nation, over the house of Israel. What is the duty of a watchman? What is his duty? And I would ask this morning for a measure of imagination on your part. I would ask that you would allow that your thoughts would cause you to travel back in time to a different place and try to imagine what it was to live, let's say, during biblical times, in an era when these big, large cities would be surrounded by a great wall or a vast wall. All of us we've seen on television these movies that show us back in the years past, and it's still true to some extent in some places today. But in the years past, where it was much more prominent, where the cities, they would build these great walls to surround the cities to protect them from impending danger. And God had told the nation of Israel that when these walls were built, they were to set watchmen upon the top of the walls. You imagine you go back even to the city of Jericho, had that great wall built around it. The ramparts of Jezreel. That means it was a bulwark, a wall built around Jezreel. And even when Israel came into her own nation, and she built up that glorious holy city of Jerusalem, they built a wall around the city of Jerusalem. And God had instructed them that once these walls were built, they were to take men and set them upon the top of the wall to serve as watchmen. It was their sacred duty to stand upon the top of the wall and to look out over the area before them and to keep a sharp eye out for danger. One could well imagine how incredibly important that this sacred duty was. You think about the nation of Israel. How many times have you read in your Old Testament history that things are going along pretty good for Israel, and the next thing you know, there comes the Philistines. The Philistines, there they come, and they're striking battle again against some of the cities of Israel. And if you were an inhabitant of that city, I believe that you would find a great measure of comfort in knowing there's some men up on the wall. And there's some men up on that wall who honor and consider it a great duty and privilege to stand on this wall. To stand there in an effort to protect those within the walls of the city. God had commanded, had told the nation, set these men up, and here's their job. You read this in Ezekiel 33. If this watchman, look with me at verse 2, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he sees the sword come, he blows the trumpet, he has fulfilled his duty. It is the duty of the watchman to warn the people of danger. He stands upon the wall or even in a tower, and he looks out and he sees a great storm coming. It was his responsibility to blow the trumpet to warn the people. If he looked out and he saw a vast army approaching, it was his duty to shout or blow the trumpet and warn the people. And this responsibility was not to be taken lightly. Can we say that lives depended upon these men? Can we not certainly say that the safety of those within the city depended upon these men who were watchmen to do their duty? These men were not to be caught slumbering and sleeping while on duty. They were not to be derelict in their duty. It was their duty to stand, and having done all, to stand and to warn the people should danger arise. But having warned the people, he could do no more. It was not the duty of the watchman to leave his position to leave his post and to run down among the people and push them along the way. Rather, it was his duty to shout or blow that trumpet and tell them, danger is on the horizon. Get your things together and pay attention. And a good watchman could be relied upon and depended upon. When he has done his sacred duty, he's done what he can. The watchman cannot force the people to heed the warning, can he? No. So that brings us, secondly, to the responsibility of the hearer. Once the watchman sounded, once the trumpet was blown, the people were responsible to hear and to hearken to what the warning is. He tells them, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, that if the watchman blows his trumpet and the people hear the trumpet but don't do anything, then the watchman has done all he could. The watchman's hands are free from the blood of the inhabitants. However, if that watchman fails to warn the people, if he is in some way disobedient, lethargic, or misses his sacred duty, then God says, if the sword comes and the people fall, I will require their blood at the watchman's hand. Now, the watchman could blow his trumpet till he was blue in the face. I really thought, man, if I had a trumpet, I'd bust out of the pulpit today blowing a trumpet just to shake things up. But once that watchman's blown the trumpet, he's done what he can do. It is then the responsibility of the hearers to act upon the warning. It is incumbent upon them and them alone. Here's a word that we as Americans today don't really like. Responsibility. That we are responsible for our own actions. Or in this case, responsible for our own inaction. We have seen time and time again men and women who have been warned and yet they ignore every sound and signal. I think about how many times have we seen on our televisions that there's some big hurricane brewing on the coast. And then every time, or at least it seems as though every time, there are always some who refuse to listen to the warnings. They refuse to evacuate. The storm alarms are blowing. The police are scouring the city, warning men and women to evacuate. It's all over the television. It's on the radio. It's on the news. Flee! There is a huge storm coming. And it seems to me that in every case, there's always some that refuse to listen. And then about 3 or 4 days later, they're sitting on the rooftop begging for help. Who is to blame or to be blamed for such negligence? If the watchman, and that's what the police and the government officials and those whose job it is to tell people, if they've done their duty, who is to blame? Who is to blame? Who is to be held responsible? And the answer is that individual. And while it is sometimes true that there may be some who never heard the warning. We know that most of the time a great many people have. And it is incumbent upon the hearer to heed and listen to the warnings. A preacher I like to listen to, this has been a few years ago, this preacher that I like to listen to, he was scheduled to go hold a meeting down in Louisiana. And he looked on the Weather Channel, and he saw that there was a big storm coming. This has been several years ago. I don't remember what storm it was. So he called that host pastor, and he said, "Are we still going on with the meeting in light of the fact that this huge hurricane's coming?" And that old preacher, being a hard-headed preacher, said, "Oh yeah, we'll be fine. We're going on with it." And this man who was scheduled to hold the revival, he said, "Well," he said, "you can say whatever you want to, but I'm going to stay right here where it's safe." And he didn't go down and hold the revival. And sure enough, that hurricane came through, tore down power lines, destroyed many things. There would have been no possibility for them to hold that revival. And this man, in telling the story, he said, "Well, I called that old preacher back." He said, "About 3 weeks later, when he finally got his power back on and his telephone started working again, I called that preacher down in Louisiana and asked him," said, "Oh, thou great man of faith, how did it fare?" And he said, "It didn't fare well at all." And he said, "Well, maybe next time you'll take heed to the warnings." Now, on the outside, looking in, I would suppose some of you maybe thought, "How could that man call and cancel that revival because of that?" But then on the other side, it turns out it wasn't so foolish indeed to hearken to the warnings that had been laid by. And yet I want to say to you, and I know that you see it coming, in a far greater sense, men and women ignore the continual and constant warnings of God that a storm is coming. I do not know, in my short tenure here, how many messages have been preached to warn men and women of coming judgment. I don't know how many times that the trumpet has been blown from this pulpit. How many others have sounded forth a warning that indeed the enemy of sin is approaching and soon will lay siege to everyone who is not safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet I also know it to be sadly true that there are many who have heard warning after warning after warning and still sit unmoved, blatantly disregarding the warnings of God Almighty. Where is God? Someone may say, "Well, where is God?" Well, I tell you where the position of God is. The sovereign of the universe looks out over the affairs of men, and He sees and knows full well how His watchmen have performed. He knows whether they've been faithful to their duty of warning others, or whether or not they've been derelict. Perhaps they've gotten so busy that they have forgotten about their sacred duty to send forth the alarm. But not only does God know about the faithfulness or unfaithfulness of His watchmen, He also knows about the inhabitants of the city. And He also knows about those that have heard and been told time after time. I will imagine, as I allow myself to travel via the conduit of imagination, a man standing on the walls of Jerusalem with his trumpet at his mouth and his lips, and he's blowing it with all his might. I could see him there as the armies of Babylon approach God's sacred city. And he is shouting and he's blowing and he's warning with all of his might. And he turns and he looks to see the people within the city going on as if they don't hear a thing. Busy about their own lives, running to and fro from the marketplace, walking down and going through their day-by-day activities and chores all alone. The trumpet is sounding. And it means nothing to them. Can you picture that in your mind? I can see it. I can see it as plain as if it were actually there, because I see it spiritually week after week after week. I'm not here to single anybody out. You hear me? I do not in any way want to single anyone out. But it would thrill my heart if the Spirit of God singled you out. As I prepared this message, a couple of questions loomed in my mind. I began to think, if I blow that trumpet one more time, will it make a difference? If I stand on the city wall, praying, pleading, shouting and warning one more time, will it make a difference? I hear stories. You listen to me. I hear stories. Men of old. And I'm talking about not 100 years ago. I'm talking about 30 and 40 years ago. When preachers would get up in the pulpit and they would preach, and people would come down the aisle weeping and broken over sin. I have a preacher friend of mine who talks about going and preaching the gospel, and he was a traveling evangelist. He went to many churches and he talks about people sitting in the pew shaking because of the judgment of God that they felt on their lives. As he, as a watchman, would warn them to flee from impending judgment, he could see it lay hold of men and women. And I want to know, where is that? Where is it? Where is that conviction of sin, that brokenness, that fear that should exist in the heart of everyone that lives in the city of destruction and does not hear the trumpet calls? Why is it that the wounds of our churches have become barren, so seldom giving birth to another into God's kingdom? And the answer to that is, I just don't know. You see, I still think God's in the saving business. And I still believe that the Spirit of God can reach down and convict the heart of a sinner. But I also know this. Those within the city are going to have to heed the call. They're going to have to hear the warning. And then they're going to have to do something about it. You see, that man can stand up on that city wall and blow the trumpet all day long, and it doesn't do anybody any good till the people hear it and do something about it. Each of us, and let me say this, each of us who've been saved, and I don't know, let me tell you something. I've been around churches long enough to know just because you got your name on the church roll don't guarantee you a slot into heaven. I've seen God reach down from heaven and save people that have been sitting on the church pew for 50 years. Been on the church roll most all of their life, and God reached down and saved them. So I'm not here to point the finger at anyone. I'm just here to tell you the only one I know about is me. I don't know how it is with you. I don't know. I have reason to believe that many of you are bound for heaven, but I can't speak with any certainty for anyone except me. And I'm trusting Christ. He died for me. He lives for me. I'm holding on to Him, and He's holding on to me. I don't mind telling you that today. That trumpet sounded, and God's Word showed me I was guilty and in danger of hell, and I took, by God's grace, and laid hold onto the cross. And He's been holding on to me ever since. But I don't know how it is. But those of us that have been saved, we've got a sacred honor, a sacred duty. You see, it's not just a preacher's job to be a watchman. Everyone who's been saved has the responsibility to stand up on the city walls and blow your trumpet. Everyone. Now, I recognize that there is a special call placed upon the man of God, placing him into the ministry, and I believe in a great degree putting a greater emphasis and necessity upon him. But that does not excuse any of us. If God saved you, then you need to be serving Him in any way you can. And in particular this morning, by warning sinners. Look around you. If you traveled back in your mind, allow your imagination to look around. Place yourself on the city wall and look outside the city, and what do you see? I see prophetic events unfolding. I see the time is at hand. I see that as much as I can know, there is nothing prophetic hindering the Lord from coming, and taking us out of here. I see nothing outside of those city walls except for hurt, harm, and danger for all those that will not listen when the trumpet sounds. But I also know that I can't save them. And listen to me, you can't either. I'm going to tell you this, like it or not. When we rightly do our duty as God's children, when we rightly represent our Christ, blow our trumpets, live a righteous life, do our sacred duty, when we do this, we honor Christ in them that are saved and in them that are not saved. We are a sweet savor. 2 Corinthians tells us this, that we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God in them which are saved and in them that perish. Because it's not the watchman's job to save, it's the watchman's job to warn. It's the responsibility of the hearer to listen and obey. We are, as my father was prone to say, we're seed sowers and water boys. You can't give life. How many of you out there in these pews this morning, if you could, you would pick up a friend or family member and shake some sense into them and say to them, wake up! Look outside the city! You're in danger! Why are you standing here in the marketplace idle, playing your games and doing nothing when the enemy of sin is about to encroach upon you and destroy you? But you can pick them up and shake them all you want, but you can't stir life in them. But what we can do is be good watchmen. We can warn. We can live right. We can sound forth the trumpet and tell men and women there's no need to perish. I want you to look with me, and I've gotten a good bit away from my text, but verse 7, and I'm going to be real quick. Verse 7, God turns it from a literal warning on a city hill, or a city wall, to verse 7, he turns it to the spiritual side. And now he tells him in verse 7 and 8 to warn the wicked to flee. And he tells him that if you warn the wicked, you've done your duty. And your hands are free from the blood. I believe in I've got it here in Acts 20. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying when he said, my hands are free from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I've tried to tell you. I've tried to warn you. My hands are clean. No blood on these hands, I've tried to tell you. I don't feel that way. I feel I've got some bloody hands. I look over my life, and I know there have been times God's Spirit convicted me to say a word, and I was too afraid. And I am concerned that there's some blood on these hands. But as faithful watchmen, we will warn. And if we'll do what our duty is to do, then your hands can be free. I give you this, and this is the final thought. Verse 11. God speaks to His people. You have to understand where Ezekiel is in the time frame. This is the end of Israel. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's all over for them. They're getting ready to be carried away. Some of them already have been carried away bondage. Isaiah's preached. Jeremiah's preached. Ezekiel's preached. They won't listen. God sets forth a question in verse 11. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Turn. That is Ezekiel's message as he stands on the city walls declaring to the nation who is so very soon to be carried away into nothingness. Why will you die? Why will you die? When you can live, you can listen to the warnings of the man as he stands upon the city wall, and you can live. Why will you die? What is it that has so captivated you that you would rather pay attention to that than to hear the warnings of God? What is it? As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Verse 11 says that. See, God is not some sadistic being that delights in the demise of men and women. In fact, He loved this world. He loved His people so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His own Son that we could live. And then He'd say, why will you die? If I've done this much, so much, why will you die? It is unreasonable. It is illogical that men would not listen to the warnings of God, yet it still happens again and again and again. Let us be faithful watchmen and do all that is within our might to warn. It is our duty to blow the trumpet. The responsibility belongs to every hearer, but the power to grant life comes only from God.